And here we go again, against the odds. It doesn't take a genius. Here are Mark and Mike.
Mark Ramsey.
You notice that we're wearing the same shirts that we tend to wear when we do these Zoom video calls?
Don't tell anybody, but I've been wearing the same shirt since March 12th. I didn't even tell you
I was going to say that.
I put on the shirt and I do a Zoom. And then I have a little hanger and I take it off and I hang it up.
Oh.
And then, you know, if somebody says Zoom meeting, it's like phone booth, shirt, ta-da.
Oh, that's beautiful. That is just beautiful.
You can still smell the dryer freshener. I mean, it's sure. It's good. It's good. I probably could go to a Christmas maybe.
To be fair, we don't have smell-o-vision yet. So you're safe for a while, you know, even if it is stinky, it's going to be okay.
Oh, yeah. No, it's holding up well. I think the hanger rejuvenates it. Yeah. So what are we talking about today?
I have a story.
Hold it. Before we do that, we have to explain my feet are behind you.
Oh, I should. Yes.
Yes. That is Emerald Lake in Rocky Mountain National Park. I climbed out onto a rock that was in the middle of the lake, and I just sat there. And all I could muster up was a picture of my feet and the gorgeous landscape that was previously painted by Bob Ross. So, it was magnificent. So that's me in my happy place.
It is lovely for those of you that are on YouTube. FYI, we also have folks who are now downloading our podcast via iTunes and Podbean, whatever Podbean is, but I signed up for it. So
I like the name.
So yeah, so some folks are seeing this without the video, but I hope we're painting a lovely picture for you.
Yes. Yeah, there's lake and then there's my feet. I can't imagine how grateful you are to just be listening.
So, I have a story for you.
Okay, please.
Ran into a manager at one of my clients who has since left the firm, and he was telling me about a new gig that he has. And I'll spare you a lot of the details, but the bottom line is that there's an extensive interview process. It had to do with a lot of the things that you and I have talked about on previous podcast episodes. Just making sure this person was the right fit and really listening to them. And one of the questions was, where do you see yourself and where do you want to be, in the short term, in 5 years and 10 years? And so this manager at one of my clients, very put together, has a plan. And so he laid out his plan. You know, this is where I'd like to be. I know that there's this position in your firm, and I think in 5 years I could get to that, and blah, blah, blah. So he's only been there 5 months, but all of a sudden he had noticed a job posting that was exactly what he had talked about hoping to achieve. And he passed on it because it was too far away from where his family has roots, and he didn't think he was ready for it. You know, it's only been 5 months. The person in charge, I think it was two levels up, sends him a message and says, "Hey, I know this is something that you had expressed, a plan that you wanted to get here at some point. I think you'd be a strong candidate, consider applying." So he's telling me the story, over coffee, and he said, this guy's met me in an interview setting. We haven't spent hardly any time together. He doesn't live near me. He doesn't work in my locations. So it's not like he's heard this story. He's not seen my performance over the last 5 months directly. But by golly, it means that the folks around me are talking about me to the superiors and are talking me up. And that feels really good. And then to know that, the person, two or three levels up, whatever it was, actually wanted to make sure that I got the chances to, sort of pursue what I was hoping to get out of the gig. It means the world to me. He says, best job I've ever had. Best job I've ever had. So he's 5 months in and he's already sort of like dyed in the wool, loyal member of this firm. And oh, by the way, he showed me his sales numbers and he's the top of the board. Well, so this is it seemed like such a textbook example of something. I'm not sure what that something is, but I have a feeling that just given our back and forth in email before we started recording, that you have some thoughts about this gentleman.
I do. I think it's a fantastic story, and there's some things that happen that are absolutely miraculous. I mean, they asked him the question.
Right. You know, just stop there, right?
Yeah. They asked the question. Brilliant move.
Yeah.
And then he was confident enough in the organization to give them the honest answer, knowing that mm-hmm. if he's facing an insecure leader, and that leader hears, hey, I want your job and even more, then that person could look upon that unfavorably. Didn't happen. So the next piece that's miraculous is they listened.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just, here's a throwaway interview question. Here's a question. We genuinely want to know your answer.
Yeah.
And we genuinely listened.
Right.
And then 6 months later, 5 months later, we recall the conversation.
Right.
We retained it in our heads. And then we acted upon it.
Yeah.
You know, right there, it's, you know, you could solve every relationship problem in America. Just by following those easy steps.
Yeah.
Right. Ask a great question. Listen to the answer and then act upon what you hear.
Can these people take care of me? Yes. Will these people take care of me? Yes. Mm-hmm. Are they genuinely listening? Do they actually care about me? Yes. And yes. These are the four elements of trust that we discussed on a previous episode. So I think we're onto something here.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And it brings us to kind of our central question today. And our central question is, what, you know, for a manager, when I look at them, I ask them, what do you want for your people? And this is not original. This comes from Simon Sinek. But what do you want for your people? And most of the time they misunderstand the question. Mm-hmm. They go, well, I need them to do, you know, more follow-ups, and I need them to do better reports, and I need them to be more proactive. And I'm like, whoa.
Yeah. If I just had one more sale out of everybody on the floor.
Yeah. It's just incremental improvement, you know. Yeah. You know, and then I have to stop them and go, no.
Yeah.
I didn't ask, what do you want from your people? I ask, what do you want for your people?
Mm-hmm.
And then that changes everything. You know, and some of them have some thoughts, and for many of them, there is no answer that they have, because they've never asked the question, what do their people want? You know, the wonderful question that you're in your story that was asked, you know, where do you see yourself?
Yeah.
Right. In the short term, in 5 years, 10 years, that's a beautiful question. And it's, you know, so that question, and to me, it kind of takes us to a very popular leadership model now that's, you know, getting a lot of play, is the servant leadership model.
Yeah.
And the servant leadership model is basically says that you do for your people, and it uses the model of reciprocity. But if you take care of your people, then they in turn will take care of you and the organization that you represent and that they work for.
Yeah.
And so it's a give and take model. It's not just the leader continuing to take from his people. And, you know, I just think that's an amazing example of that. And it can all begin with that question, what do you want for your people? I had a great story of, I was assigned to a new store. I was going to consult with them, and it was an older general manager, and he looked at me and I said, so what's your story? And he says, I do turnarounds. He says, they call me in when the store is completely broken. I turn it around, takes me a couple of years, and then I hand it over to somebody to run. Mm. And I go, wow, that's incredible. So how many stores have you turned around? It's, he says, well, I've been doing this for decades. And he says, I don't count stores.
Huh.
I said, okay, what do you count? And he reached in the desk and he pulled out this wrinkled yellowed legal pad that was just crumbly, right? And he started going down the list, and on the list was names of managers that he'd worked with in these turnaround stores.
Really?
For managers who now ran a store or owned their own store or owned two or three stores.
Wow.
He goes, this is how I keep score. Hmm. The number of people who I've worked with that went on to bigger and better things.
Hmm.
He said, that's my legacy. Don't know how many stores, but I know exactly how many people I've helped.
So,
wow.
All right. I didn't tell you I was going to ask this question, but I'm going to extend our podcast by just a little bit. But Mike, I'm in a business. I've got to make money. I've got to get my people to make this business money or we go out of business. I can't be spending time focusing on what I want for them. What do you say to a guy who is, staring, the end of the month, the end of the quarter, looking at the, is it black, is it red question at the end of the month? What do you say to that guy?
Well, it's interesting because we were working with some businesses, and we had a survey, an employee engagement survey,
mm-hmm.
and it had 42 questions on it. But I would always look at the people, the manager, when they got their survey back from their team members and tell them there's only two questions that matter on this survey.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is, I trust my manager. Mm-hmm. It was a statement, and you could either disagree or neutral or strongly agree or someplace in between. So I trust my manager. If the score to that was high, everything was possible. And then the second question I asked them to look at was, my manager is concerned about my personal well-being.
Mm-hmm. Actually and, cares.
Yeah, he cares. He does it. He cares about the organization. Yes, I got to make goals. We got to be profitable. And that's part of caring about me, because a profitable organization can provide you a steady job opportunity. But I'm concerned about your personal well-being. Yeah. And if those two scores were high, if they trusted the manager and they believed that the manager cared about them, anything was possible, and anything was possible easily.
Right.
And if those scores were low, nothing was possible.
Yeah.
Every change was met with resistance and suspicion.
Yeah.
And then you got the opposite of what we're talking about is, and we've talked about this previously, is, why is he doing this to me?
Yeah.
Right. Every change you want to make is a personal attack on me. You're just you just lay awake at night trying to make my life a little bit harder.
Yeah.
Whereas if those two questions were scored high, all right, might not even be sure what you're up to there, boss, but you've never let me down. I know you always look out for me. Let's go get her done, right?
And then, got the benefit of the doubt built into the system. Yeah,
exactly. The assumption of positive intent.
That's right.
Because I know I trust you and I know you care about me.
Yeah.
Anything is possible. You can take over the world if you've got people that you've cultivated that feel that way and believe that.
Yeah.
So whether it's a business task or a volunteer service task or whatever goal you have, with those two things, the sky's the limit.
All right. So we're talking about reframing with a better question. What do I want for my people instead of from my people? That's a mindset. That's a new attitude to approach the store, to approach your company, your organization. And you said legacy as a part of that story, that he has a legacy in all these stores that he's turned around. So I hope this is a good way to wrap up, but I've been reading Play to Win by Larry and Hirsch Wilson, the guy behind Pecos River Learning, ropes courses and all that stuff, and a big player for a long time in leadership and growing people. And he quotes a book, The Power of Purpose by Dick Leader, who interviewed 200 couples in the late 70s and has followed up with them periodically. And basically you know, the main question was, do you have any regrets? So thinking about somebody who has impacted so many people, like your friend there at your store, and thinking about the legacy he has, I just hope this sort of sweetens the deal just a little bit for anybody listening. There were three regrets, and I'm going to give them to you out of order. One was that I would be more courageous, you know, take more risks at work or with relationships. And then the other two were this. I wish I would have seen the big picture more. All right. So not just short-term goals, not just this monthly goal, but maybe what, you know, Simon Sinek has quoted as saying the infinite game, you know, not even the long-term game, the infinite game. You know, who cares about the sales quota for this arbitrary time period? You know, what are we doing big picture that is helping us fulfill a mission and take care of people? And then the third one was just directly, you know, that I'd make a difference, you know, make a difference in people's lives. So will that in the short term help you make your sales quota? Yes, actually, I think it will. But it turns out that there's something bigger coming down the pike after you retire. And I've had managers and business owners say, what am I going to do? Wash my car, play golf, then what? And, you know, the answer for a lot of guys is, well, what I'm going to do is reflect on all these people that I've helped and maybe spend time talking with them and maybe hear from them. And we both know people like that that have invested in us, and, you know, we're still involved in their lives and they've retired long ago. Yep. So there's a lot of opportunity there down the pike. So anything else you'd like to add to wrap up?
No, I think I think this all dovetails nicely together. So I would encourage our listeners and viewers, right, to have the courage to ask the question of yourself, what do you want for your people?
Love it. I think we should shut up.
Let's see what our announcer has to say about us now. It's never good.
So go ahead and tweet that, or share it any other way you want. As always, there are no rights reserved, no trademarks, no copyrights. Share it if you want to. And join us next time on It Doesn't Take a Genius.
That's good enough.